this morning, and I'll go ahead and tell you it's from Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. I'll let you have a few moments to turn there. It will be one of those that may take you a few moments to find. But we're going to read in the chapter 2, and then we'll flip over to chapter 4. We've got quite a bit of reading, more reading than I generally like to do for a Sunday morning, but I tried all week for the Lord to allow me to cut it down and chop parts of it out, but we can't do that this morning. The Lord has given us this, and I believe in order for us to truly understand this morning, we have to read all of what the Lord has given us. But as we turn there, Nehemiah, and what we're going to be reading to you today is about the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah had heard about how Jerusalem had been destroyed, how the walls around this great city had been torn down, and how they'd been caught on fire, and how desolate this place had grown. And I believe Nehemiah, as he heard about this, his heart was broken for these people. He was broken for the fact that the walls, this great city, had been torn down. It was a place that he loved. And he had to see and he had to know that it had been destroyed by armies, by great kingdoms. It had been torn down to a place that he didn't even recognize. But Nehemiah loved Jerusalem. Nehemiah began to talk to the Lord, and I believe the Lord laid it upon his heart to be able to go back to Jerusalem and be able to build those walls. But he came before King Ataxerxes, and he had many times he had tried to tear down any attempts to build Jerusalem again. He had tried to stop the building of this great wall again, because each and every time that it would start, it would draw attention away from him. And he didn't like that. And Nehemiah knew this, so he knew that when he had to go before Ataxerxes and ask him to let me go build the walls of Jerusalem, he knew he was scared. And I believe we can read in chapter 2, and we won't read this. We're just trying to summarize to get to our reading this morning. But he went to Ataxerxes, and he was scared, and he was sad, because he knew the answer that he would probably get would be, "No, you're not allowed to go build those walls around Jerusalem." He knew that he was scared because that he was the cupbearer for the king, and he held a great status before this great nation. He knew that what he was fixing to ask would probably be met with great criticism. But he went before King Ataxerxes, and he went before him and he asked him, he said, "May I go to Jerusalem and build these walls?" He began to plead his case to him. He began to tell him what had happened, and King Ataxerxes said, "You may go." He said, "How long do you need?" And Nehemiah told him, and he let him go. And so for the 11th verse is where we're going to start our reading of Nehemiah, the second chapter. And it says, "So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up into the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me, and they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. That will end our reading there for the moment of time, but hold your finger and place mark there. In chapter 4 we'll be reading, if the Lord will allow us this morning, but our thought would be, arise and build. this thought came to me, and I guess if you really want to, you can create your own title for this message this morning. Because I really, there has been a multitude of thoughts that I've had about this and this reading that I've had. But as I began to think about this and read this, what is one thing that seems to be evident about this is that God told him what he was supposed to do, and then people laughed at him. People didn't like what Nehemiah was fixing to do. Sanballat and Tobiah, they laughed at him. They said, "You're going to go over there and build those walls at a place that's been torn down and there's been fires set to it. You're going to go over there and try to do this thing that you know that you can't. The king will not let you." But he didn't know that the king had already told him that what he was going to do was all right. But he gathered these people together, and I believe the Lord was strongly upon Nehemiah as he began to go to Jerusalem. Because he told them, "The hand of my God which was good upon me." I believe the Lord let him know exactly where he needed to be. I believe he knew exactly what he needed to be doing, and that was building the walls of Jerusalem. We're going to skip over now, and we're going to come back to this if the Lord will help us. But this is where our main thought will come from this morning. The fourth chapter, and we're going to read quite a bit, so I just ask that you would bear with me again. The fourth chapter, in the first verse, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, and he shall break down the stone wall.'" And Nehemiah begins to talk here. He says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.' And our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.' And it came to pass when our enemies had heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from the time forth that the half of the servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the breastplates, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And he said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. In what place thereof, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us.' So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, 'Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night that they may guard to us and labor on the day.' So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing." And I apologize for the lengthy reading lesson this morning, but our thought this morning would be having to deal with building the church. I know this may sound like it's a far stretch, but I believe that Nehemiah I had some very good instructions for the church in this that he was trying to do. I believe that we all know this. But I believe that the Lord loves his church more than anything in this world. I believe that he died for her so much that he would give his own blood so that it would grow and prosper, so that people could be saved through her efforts. But what we can read about Nehemiah here is that he loved Jerusalem. And he wanted to see her grow, and he wanted to see her prosper once again. He wanted to see great things take place, but what he'd been met with was adversaries and problems at every turn. Sanballat had laughed at him. He thought the king wouldn't allow him to do this. He realized that the work before him was a great work. But what did he tell him? God tell him. What did Nehemiah tell them? Strengthen thy hands and God will fight for us. I believe that God will fight for his church. I believe that God will fight for his people. Because I believe his church is the only thing that will last in this world. We live in a modern day. Everything around us has changed. There's nothing in this world that I believe is the same that it was yesterday. But the only thing that will last is the old-time church that God set up. Amen. You might say, well, Jerusalem didn't last. Jerusalem was still there. Jerusalem had been badly beaten. They'd been badly beat down. Their walls had been torn down. They'd been set on fire. Doesn't that look a lot like our church today? Our churches have taken a beating by everybody around us. But God still loves us and still allows us to meet together and allows us to worship him in the free pardon of sin. I'm so glad that his church is still here. I'm so glad that through the efforts of his church, that one night that a preacher would preach just to me, it felt like, so that I could become under conviction that I might be drawn to an altar so that I could pray through to him. I began to think about this today, and the thought arise and build. And I want you to know and realize this morning that a lot of people are going to laugh at us as churchgoers and as people who claim to be a part of his church. They're going to say, well, you really have no idea what you're talking about. There's going to be people who will try to stop what we're doing. There's people in our government today that don't like a bit more what we're doing here today than anything. If they could come in here and stop it, they would. But I'm so glad that she's still here and holding on. I'm still glad that there's a church, a true, sound church in the middle of Nashville where that people can still hear the truth. Because we must keep building and we must keep working. Nehemiah told him in the 14th verse, and it says, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, and your wives and your houses. When we come to church, it's more than just about you and I. It's about him. We come here every Sunday morning, and we worship the Lord, or we try in our vain and in unworthy ways, we try to worship God. And he sees our efforts. But what is it for? Why are we here this morning? Why are we still holding on? Why would we meet here this morning? People say, well, I can do just as good meeting at home. Or I can read my Bible and do just as well. Oh, but this morning I believe that we must meet together and draw strength from each other. We must meet together because I believe if Nehemiah had went up to this wall and began to build by himself, he would have never completed. It takes everybody, each and every one of us, to build the walls together. We must be together in his church. We must be together for each other, for the love that we have. And I believe there's a whole lot of love here at Mount Calvary this morning. You can just feel it when you walk in the door and the love that you have for one another and that you have and the desire to see lost people saved. I believe Nehemiah had a desire. If we would have read over in the first chapter, he would have talked about how his Jerusalem had been the cities of his fathers and how much he cared for Jerusalem. Well, this morning I want you to know and realize that each and every one of us should have the same desire that Nehemiah had for Jerusalem for his church today. There's nothing in this world that is greater than being able to worship with the people that you love. I believe Nehemiah, as we read here, In my Bible, it says Nehemiah arms the laborers above some of the text. As we enter into the courts of a church house, and as we enter in together to pray and to worship, we need to be armed against the world. Because a lot of times the world doesn't stay out there at the doors. A lot of times the world creeps in one by one, one little thing after another. Why does that happen? Because people are trying to destroy what God has built up. I'm thankful today that He tells us in His Word that He will always be with us. We can read over in the book of Acts, I believe it is. And Romans in the 8th chapter, in the 20th verse, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Why did Nehemiah have to arm his laborers? He realized, and I believe we can read, that Sanballat let Nehemiah know that he was coming for him. He was ready to come up there and ready to fight him if it came to that. In our churches today, we know and we realize that we're battling many different things. We're battling every element of the outside world. And I believe that he armed Nehemiah to the point that Nehemiah told his laborers that they needed to be ready in case of any attack. They needed to be ready in case anything struck on that wall. He let them know that if you ever hear the trumpet sound, that somebody's trying to attack us. So what did he tell him? He said, "You work with one hand, but you have a weapon in the other. You be ready in case there's ever something that comes on the church." Because I believe we're going to face things in these next few years. Oh, help us as a church and help us as God's people to be able to deal with them as we face them. Because we're going to need to know why we're facing them and what we're going to have to do to face them. Had Nehemiah not armed his laborers and somebody had attacked them, they would have just overtook them and been over with. But what did he do? He told them, he said, "You've got to continue working. As God's church, we can never, ever stop in our laurels. We must keep going. We must keep pressing forward because our children, our sons, our daughters, your husbands, your wives, all of these things, they are at stake. This world is at stake today. People will say, we need to pray for our country. And I have never believed anything more. We need to pray for our leaders and our nation as a whole to strengthen themselves together and to return to the church. We don't hear a lot about that today in news media. You don't want to hear about God or the church or that He's the one in control. We don't like to think about that. But we know the one who is actually in control. And you might say today, I can just imagine that some of your thoughts may be this morning, well, we're few in number here at Mount Calvary. What can we really do as a church? The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing on any one thing, there will my spirit be also. I'm so glad that it doesn't take a whole lot of people to serve the Lord. I'm glad that it didn't take a whole lot of people to worship the Lord. I'm glad that it doesn't take a whole lot of people to draw the Spirit out of heaven so that our churches can be filled. I believe Nehemiah, I don't believe he had a whole host of great number of people, but I believe that who he had wanted to be there and work on this wall. This morning at Mount Calvary, we've got to be ready to work on this wall together. If we ever want to have hope of seeing our nation, our county, our state return to the old paths, we have got to continue working together. The church is the only hope physically this world has. The only hope the world will ever have is through Jesus Christ. But the only way they'll ever know about it is through and by the church. They must. There's a lot of places that you can go today and there's a church above the door. But they're not teaching the right way of salvation. They're not teaching about the same morals that you and I must stand for. He tells them in the sixth verse, so we built the wall. He let them know that he was building that wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. I believe that God's people must have a mind and a heart to work together. I believe our churches today need to fellowship and grow and strengthen with each other because we need that. We need one another all across this land and country. We need all of us to work together so that the good and the gospel of Jesus Christ can go out, because Mount Calvary can't be everywhere. But she has her place here in Nashville where she's telling people about the Lord. Now, Pleasant Hill up in Simpson County is not down here in Nashville. But we must work together so that lost people can be saved. Amen. This wall, if you read about it, was a great big wall. It wasn't just one little bitty section where they were all together. That's why they had to have a trumpet. Somebody had to stand before them when danger came and blow the trumpet so that they would know danger was on the rise. We're not all together all the time. As we leave today and go our separate ways, you're going to go one place and I'm going to go another. But that doesn't mean that we cannot strengthen and be together all the time, because I believe that God's people, if we'll take heed to our Sunday school lesson this morning, if we'll pray for one another, if we'll work together with one another, if we'll stay in contact with one another, our weeks and our lives will go a whole lot better. Because I love to hear from my church family. People will call or text. And Sister Jean sent me a message on Facebook Wednesday, and she just said, I want you to know that I'm thinking about you and praying for you. I just melted right there at work because somebody was praying for me. We all need to pray for each other so that we all can be strengthened by each other. As they were spread out on this wall, some would be over there working, some would be over there working, some would be a great distance off working. But you know, I believe they could see that they were working and they were still going. You know, we all have different jobs in the Lord's church. The Bible says, and I believe the Lord lets us know very plainly, that we're all a member of one body. But we all have our jobs to do. Not everybody could be laying the bricks on this wall. Not everybody could be laying the mortar on the wall. Not everybody could be breaking the parts of the wall that need to be fixed. Not everybody can do the same job. But if we'll all work together, our church, our lives, and our churches as a whole will strengthen to the point that all the things that can happen. Brother Taylor made mention of y'all's revival here at Mount Calvary that will be starting in a few months. It's not too early to begin praying for that revival effort meeting. It's not too early to begin thinking about the lost people. We need to be thinking about them all the time. But that's a week that is set aside so that God's people can come together for one week and worship with each other so that we may gain the lost. I believe that Nehemiah had a great work set before him. He told them, he said, the work is great. But what did he also tell him? He said that God would fight for them. There's a lot of times in God's work, and as a preacher, I've been around to just places that I didn't even know existed. Some Sunday mornings when I've had appointments different places, I'd get up and drive 200 miles north and then 200 miles south that night. And by the time you get home, you're worn out and you just don't know how you're going to make it. But God fought for me, and God will fight for you. There's a lot of times that we'll get up in the morning and maybe things just aren't seeming like they're going to go that well. We wake up in the morning and boy, the day just looks like it's going to be dawning and we don't know how we'll ever get through it. But God will fight for us. But we've got to fight with each other and for each other. I don't like to use the term fight because it makes it sound like we've got to physically go out and start bopping people in the head. But I don't believe that this morning. How are we supposed to fight? You know, Nehemiah never got mad at Sanballat. He never went down there and took a pickaxe and went at his head. He never did any of that stuff. Anytime Sanballat came to him and said, Nehemiah, you need to come down from the wall. You've got other things you need to be worried about besides this wall of Jerusalem. You've got other things that command your attention. He would always just let Sanballat know, I'm doing a great work up here. You leave me alone. I've got something that I've got to do. And if you really want to be a part of it, you can join me and help me. Boy, Sanballat, sometimes he'd go away just as mad as he could be. He didn't understand. And there's going to be times in our lives when we're going to come in contact with people and they're just not going to understand why we go to church. You ever had somebody that just said, well, what good does it do to go sit in a church house for an hour on Sunday morning? I have come in contact with those people just an innumerable amount of times. And they will wear your head out about why you do it. How do we fight these people? Does it mean you go up to them and slam your Bible into their head and say, you need to believe it now? No. We've got to show them what we've got. We've got to show them through love. We've got to show them through the efforts that we're doing, that we still meet here at Mount Calvary, that we still love, that we still have the ability to love them. Somebody was talking about people that came in with tattoos all over them. Well, they still need to be loved too, because they've still got a soul. We've got to show people love. If Nehemiah had went down there and beat Sanballat up, it could have turned very bad very quickly. And I believe Sanballat had every intention of destroying the wall that Nehemiah built up. But you want to know how this story ends? The wall got built and things went really, 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 really good for Jerusalem for a while. Now they eventually fell again, and there's a whole other story in that. But I want you to know something this morning, that if we will work together as God's church and as God's people and love one another and love His church as He loved it, I believe He loves His church so much that one day He's going to marry her. When the world comes to an end, I believe that the bride will be adorned for her bridegroom. Amen. And someday, they'll be joined together in holy matrimony. I don't have time to preach on the bride this morning. That's a whole other sermon. But I want you to know and understand this morning that we're just like Nehemiah in this wall and this labor. It's a labor of love. Our churches need people who will work, because there's a world out there that doesn't know about Jesus Christ. And even if they do know about Him, they don't know about the true plan of salvation that we have. Amen. We have got praying to do. We talked about that in Sunday school, and I thought, how this is going to work together. The Lord just has to know these things sometimes. How can we build this wall? We're not physically building a wall this morning, but we are building walls spiritually. We've got to pray, first and foremost. I believe that prayer is the key cornerstone of anything that we will do. We can do anything, but if we don't pray about it and ask God for His guidance with it, it's empty. We have got to pray that God will bless His church, not only physically, but spiritually. Our land and our country needs an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It needs God's presence to be felt. I'm thankful that Nehemiah got to build that wall, because I'm thankful that God, through that, lets me know this morning that His church is not doomed. A lot of people, they'll get up and they'll preach, and I hope this has not been that way. I would rather you all think anything else but than to think I was up here beating you all up, because I love you all so much. You just don't even understand. I love this church, and I love each and every one of you, and I want to see lost people saved. But I want you to know and understand that through these efforts, and through this love, and through this effort that we have today, that lost people can still be saved. As I told you, people will get up in the pulpit and they'll say how doomed our churches are. Well, they don't make you feel too good. There is still hope for our nation. There's still hope for our churches. And there's still hope for those that we don't even know about yet that need salvation. Why is that this morning? Why is that? Because Jesus is still on His throne. He still wants His church to thrive and grow. And I believe that with all of my heart. If He didn't, He would have just let it fall a long time ago and said, I'm done. I'm not worrying about it anymore. He loves His church. And if you're a member of it today, we have a great job to do. And I don't want you to think, you start talking about work and people get scared. I mean, I understand that. People just don't like to work. I mean, I go into work and I'm like, I'd really like to be off now. This work is not something that is a sad work. It's a hard work. I'm not going to lie to you this morning. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes you get to the end of your rope and you think there's nothing else I can do. But it's the most enjoyable work. It's the most prosperous work. Maybe not in money, because you can tell I don't have a lot of money this morning. But spiritual blessings just abound. But the rewards that we'll get aren't here. We'll get them someday after a while. Well, we may never get them here. And I believe when we get there, I believe we'll just take those crowns of glory and all of the rewards that we have, and we'll just cast them in the Lord's feet and say, you're worthy of them and not me. We have a work to do. I hope and pray that each and every one of us will join together in prayer. Let's build this wall for the Lord. Let's show Him that we still love Him and still want to see lost people get saved. That's my message this morning, as scattered as it may have been. I hope and pray that somebody may have gotten something out of it. I hope that the parallels have been made, that there is a great job to do, but it's a loving job. As Nehemiah loved Jerusalem, I love the church this morning. As a member of it, I thank the Lord for an institution and for I believe it's the greatest thing that anybody can ever be a part of is His church. I truly believe that. And I believe once you've been saved by the grace of God, it is our duty. And I believe God tells us in His word that we are to join the Lord's church after we have been saved by His grace. It is the first act that we can do as a saved person. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for this church. And I just ask that let's pray together that the Lord will help us and strengthen us. Let's stay on the wall. Let's not come down until the work is completed. You and I may pass beyond this veil of life before the wall is completed. Oh, but someday we'll join together in that holy city and we'll be able to worship around the throne of glory for all eternity. Our works we may never know, but I'm so thankful that God still loves His church, and I'm so thankful that God still loves you and I. Let's have a song this morning. And I just ask that if you're lost and you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, this altar is always open for you to come and pray. The Lord is still in the saving business. Let's have a song, Brother Colin.
246. What a fellowship, what a joy divine on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine.
For those everlasting arms. There's a song that we sing from time, Hold the God's Unchanging Hand. I told you something that never changes, and that's His church, and that's His doctrines. Traditions and things, they can change. They change. They will change. In our family, Christmas was always held at Nanny's house when she was alive, and
That was a tradition, and now it's changed that we hold it wherever we can find a big enough place to hold it now. Those things change, but God's church never, ever changes. The true plan of salvation will never change. It hasn't changed, and it never will. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm thankful for that today. Anything on your hearts this morning? It has been. Thankful that she travels with me. My grandparents would have loved to have been here this morning, but Pleasant Hill has business meeting on second Sundays, and my granddad felt like he needed to be there this morning, but thankful that she loves to travel with me, and thankful that she does that. I've been blessed to have a good mother who loves the Lord, and I'm thankful for that this morning. Is there anything else on your hearts this morning? Things to preach on is the church, because I would never want somebody to think that I was trying to beat them up, because I love his church and I want to see it grow and build, and you're not ever going to win anybody by beating them down. I don't believe that. I appreciate that. Got to be with Mount Calvary last Sunday. I wasn't preaching, but I surprised them. Of course, I didn't really know that I'd be coming down here. Kind of pulled out of the driveway and thought, well, Mount Calvary's where I need to be this morning. So I came and I enjoyed the services last Sunday. It's been good to be with y'all the last two Sundays. I have greatly enjoyed that. Thankful for the hospitality and the feeling of home that I get when I get to be here. I'm thankful for that. Missed Sister Karen last Sunday. I noticed that she wasn't back there, and that's a little different when you have one that's not with you. Anything else this morning?
Brother Greg, as I said to you at the beginning of the day, I thank the Lord for salvation and the blessings of life. I'd like to tell you, and you're a good message. You can't preach on the way of things in the church. It's been the stabilization of humanity all down through the years.
Bless your heart.
That's where we all went and found that we need the Lord. And most of us have taught him in church and found him. So it's a great institution to have. It's a great thing to be able to serve the Lord. And I appreciate the good message. And may God bless you as you study and meditate on the Word.
Bless your heart, Brother Taylor. Appreciate this morning. From Lafayette, they had two or three on the altar, I believe. I believe they've had somebody on the altar every night they've met. So let's remember that effort meeting as they continue on. Amen. Is there anything else on your hearts? April 22nd, Brother Samuel Setcher will be pleased to preach at Pleasant Hill, my home church. Simpson County. We typically don't have visiting preachers on Wednesday nights, but that's one of the only times that he could come. And had Brother Paul Owusu be with us last year. Really enjoyed that. They came and spoke to student fellowship this last couple weeks and enjoyed that. But if any of y'all can, would love to come up that way. We'd love to have you. They'd love to have you. So remember that as he comes that way. Be anything else on your heart? This morning, as we dismiss this, we also, Sister Jean and Sister Estelle Petty have birthdays this coming up week, so we need to remember them. Sister Stella put it in the bulletin, so let's remember them as they have these birthdays, and I pray that the Lord blesses them, and they just have wonderful birthdays, and the Lord blesses them with many, many more. That's my prayer for everybody that has a birthday, that they get another one. So
As we dismiss this morning, as I was preaching, the Lord laid this on my heart. I feel like we need to gather in the altar and pray together as a church. If that would be okay with the church to dismiss that way. It's just been on my heart, and I feel like if we'll come together and pray, the Lord will see those efforts and see those prayers. We talked about it in Sunday school, and that just seems like the way we need to dismiss this morning. You all have a business meeting, so no better way to start a business meeting than in prayer. So if each and every one of us would and can, that would care to, come into the altar and we'll pray. I'll ask Brother Colwin if he would dismiss us this